Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
I'd be doing better if I got a buyout like Brian Kelly, but other than that, I'm doing well, Gabe.
Fired Power Four coach, generally from the SEC. That's the best job in America, man. It's the best job in America.
Oh, no. Now I get a $20 million directly to my bank account. Oh, no, please. I want to continue pulling 170-hour weeks game planning. No.
And the fans complain pretty consistently, for good reason, with Brian Kelly, but still. And just take all that criticism, probably threats.
It's a good life. I'd take $1 million of that money. That'd be fine with me.
Right. But since you brought it up off the top, Brian Kelly is no longer the coach at LSU. Was there any debate in your mind once you saw the final score and how that game ended up against A&M that he was going to finish the season or anything? Do you think it was timed up well or timed up fine? Firing him after that, in other words, firing him after that game was justified.
The James Franklin thing to me really opened my eyes, and I think has opened a lot of people's eyes to this idea of how coaches, and you see Nick Saban talking about it on game day. Deion Sanders talked about it in his presser the other day about how everything in this new era, everybody wants now, expectations, win now, and if you don't, you're gone. But to me, I think the Brian Kelly thing and the James Franklin thing are more of this era being decision makers, fans, boosters, whoever you want to say is making these decisions on these big name head coaching firings. They're looking at the temperature of these situations and saying, can we survive the rest of the season with the temperature being this hot? Penn State couldn't. And I think that's what it was for LSU when you have the governor stepping in and being like,
well,
hey,
I also think
hey,
he's
LSU.
Far too involved, Colt. He's far too involved.
For sure. But when you have that and just, there's no way that the temperature was coming down. You know,
right.
Maybe they beat in Alabama. Maybe they finish out the season strong. But I think you can already tell from the body language of the team and the stuff that, again, in these situations is leaking out into the media. You're just saying, you know what? People didn't like this guy from the start. LSU fans he was never one of them. He never could be one of them. And so you just say, you know what? This isn't working. Let's move on to something else. And so I think it is kind of a little bit of each where, yes, things, expectations probably are way too crazy around the country. But when you just have a situation that isn't working, you just get out of it. And that's what LSU did.
Yeah, but Scott Woodward, the AD there at LSU, was there for Jimbo Fisher, made the hire for Jimbo Fisher at A&M. So now he has the two highest buyouts in college football history attached to his name. I can't imagine he lasts much longer at LSU, but we will see. Here's where I struggle, just to a certain degree. If you're LSU right now, I don't know where you head next because you just made a big splash hire, right? You hired Brian Kelly, who was the active wins leader in college football at the time. So now you're looking around the country and you're looking at a lot of these different coaches. There's certain coaches that are comfortable where they're at. And we'll talk about Lane Kiffin in a second, but I think he would fit that, although he could be more comfortable at a Florida or an LSU. Again, we'll discuss that. But Kurt Cignetti's a guy who's very comfortable where he's at. You also have some really good coaches that are involved in this carousel that are going to be big names. They're at their alma mater already. Jeff Brohm at Louisville. You know, Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. Clark Lee at Vandy. So, like, I just look around the country and I'm asking myself, like, what direction should LSU head next? Like, what should that look like? Do you have an answer for me on that front?
I don't, man, because when you make a move like that and this carousel being what it is, I think that everything is on the table right now. I still think there's a possibility we have a name that comes out of left field that leaves for one of these jobs because it's so crazy and out of control right now. I think for LSU, with how much people didn't like Brian Kelly and how much...
Oh, his players, by the way, God. I mean, he must be, and I, not that I'm surprised by this, he must be one of the worst human beings behind the scenes that we've ever seen. No former player, even the ones that had success under him. I heard Zach Martin, that he couldn't say a good word about the guy. I mean, the best you could say is, oh, well, you know, he managed the program well. but, like, it's insane to see a coach with that level, that type of track record, have no former players standing up for him. Like, when James Franklin was fired, you had a bunch of people step up and say, I love this guy. I wouldn't be where I'm at without him. You didn't have any of that with Brian Kelly.
That filters to coaches, too. There was that story that came out a couple years ago of, I think it was Robert Saleh and the Packers coach.
Matt LaFleur.
Matt LaFleur, about how when they were, you know, DAs or whatever.
Central Michigan, yeah.
They had to shovel snow and they thought they were going to be invited to the Christmas party. So it just kind of seems like a constant reoccurrence with Brian Kelly. When you're that bad of a guy and you can keep getting jobs like that, I don't know. Good for you, I guess. It shows what you are as a football coach. But maybe that does play into not only just how bad those relationships were, and also how much of a fit he wasn't at LSU, that next person, maybe they do swing all the way in the opposite direction, where maybe they don't get a Lane Kiffin or one of these other big-name hires. Maybe it is a guy like Kelvin Shepard, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, who played at LSU. He knows what it's like to be in Baton Rouge. He knows what it's like to manage, you know, everything that comes with LSU. What I said in my column this week was that LSU, it's so hard to understand them because they exist in their own little universe where it only makes sense to the people in it. So maybe they go with a guy who's a former player and understands that. But again, too, I want to remind people, because so much talk with the LSU is about culture, Nick Saban was born in West Virginia. He was a Kent State alum. He came from Michigan State. Les Miles, Ohio-born Michigan man. They both became fits for the LSU culture because of one reason. They won big. And ultimately, with all these jobs, that's the only thing that matters. If Brian Kelly were to win those games, he would have been a fit at LSU. But since he lost those games, it just added on to how much people didn't like him in the first place.
Yeah, when he loses those games, we rewind to him mid-court at a basketball game saying, family. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of what it becomes. You say he wasn't a fit from the beginning, but if he would have won, to your point, he would have been a fit. You guys, the people in Baton Rouge wouldn't have cared. They wouldn't have cared. But what I would say to LSU, you bring up the Kelvin Shepard thing, and I've heard a lot of, like, former players there at LSU, T-Bob Hebert, our guy Braden Fajoco, they've actually advocated for Kelvin Shepard, who's the DC for the Detroit Lions right now, doing a really good job. But, like, that's the direction I feel like college coaching needs to go. Just find a ball coach, man. find a ball coach. I look at the recent hires that have been made. Clark Lee at Vandy is a good example. Mike Elko at A&M, that wasn't some splashy hire. Yeah, he was a former DC there. He knew what to expect at A&M. But at the same time, I mean, he had just had his one job at Duke, did a decent job, didn't know what to expect once he got into the SEC. He's sitting there at 8-0 at the top of the SEC standings. Kurt Cignetti. Right, this is a guy who was at James Madison. Yeah, well, how is he going to adjust to the Big Ten? He's adjusted just fine. Like, I just look at around the country at the coaches that are having success. Brent Key, for God's sakes, at Georgia Tech. Go get yourself a dang ball coach. Don't worry about the name. Don't worry necessarily about the full track record, if they've coached at the highest level, if they've been in a national title game. Because as we've seen also recently, that does not mean that you're going to be able to replicate that in this day and age. We're now in a different NIL house settlement era. Brian Kelly made a national championship game when he was at Notre Dame. He didn't do that at LSU. Jimbo Fisher won a national title when he was at Florida State. He gets over to A&M. He's not able to do anything of substance. So it's like I'm at this point with some of these big openings. Go get yourself a ball coach. Hire a search firm. Let them narrow down some candidates. Conduct some interviews and see what these guys are about, and then make a hire. You don't necessarily have to just go after this big name. If you're LSU, you shouldn't just be dead set on, hey, we have to get Lane Kiffin or this is a failure. In the end of the day, go get yourself a ball coach.
That's what makes this coaching carousel so crazy and so scary, because you are going to have these big name jobs who, part of it, whether people want to admit it or not, is the optics of how the hire looks. Because, you know, you and I and the listeners to the show and the people who really love college football, we can talk about a guy like a Kurt Cignetti before he got that Indiana job and say, okay, I saw what he was able to do with James Madison, and even before them, his resume was on point before that, or a Kenny Dillingham or whoever you want to pick. But your average donor, your average fan sees that. There was probably plenty of Indiana donors who were like, okay, Kurt Cignetti won at James Madison, but like, there were some other bigger names out there we could have gotten, right?
Right.
And now look at him. And Cignetti is the, you know, he's the pie in the sky for everybody right now, because that's what teams want. But I think the idea is there. You know, maybe this isn't the perfect example, but if one of these teams were to reach out to Lance Leipold from Kansas right now,
sure,
I wonder how fan bases would react to that, because Kansas has kind of fallen off a little bit since the 9-4 season in 2023, but this is a guy who has a proven track record dating back, you know, decades of building programs and kind of going up the ladder and being, like what you said, a guy who can just coach ball. And
right,
if you put those guys in positions where you do give them the backing, you look at what Indiana fans have done now, being so disillusioned with their basketball program, which was the backbone there for decades. They put that money into football, and now you're seeing the results of that. And I think you are going to find, I think the schools that win this carousel are going to be guys or programs who just hire guys who, like you said, are just good ball coaches.
Yeah, and Lance Leipold, trust me, I played David Beatty's Kansas team twice. They weren't good. Les Miles' Kansas teams weren't good. If you see someone turn around a program and at least have a sustained level of success at a place like Kansas, and look at all that they're building, right? They just got, I think they just secured their biggest donation in the history of the school, or the history of ever. It's like $400 million. They have that stadium, you know, up and running at peak efficiency. They've made a bunch of renovations there. Like, I don't know. You look at guys like that, I know it wouldn't necessarily be the most popular hire at a place like LSU or a place like Florida. But at the same time, the guy took a program that's been historically unsuccessful and made them stable, made them competitive, even in the biggest games of the year. So I would not be against seeing something like that. Now, Lane Kiffin, holler at me about this, because I think everybody's opinion, it's a range of opinions. Pete Thamel I saw yesterday, I think he was on, I think it was College Football Live. He said, right now it's hard to imagine Lane Kiffin coaching at Ole Miss next year. The opportunity that looms at either LSU or Florida is too big. But then you have Nick Saban speaking on it today to Chris Lowe. And he said, jobs that weren't great jobs before are now. Lane is the first name up for Florida and the first name up for LSU. But I think you can have a long debate on whether either one of those jobs is actually better than the job he has now, because he has some guys over there at Ole Miss that give him pretty much whatever he wants from a roster standpoint. So, like, Lane Kiffin, this is going to be an interesting one to watch, because he's literally name number one on the coaching hot board for the best jobs in America going into this offseason. Do you think, like, where do you stand? Are you somewhere in the middle of Nick Saban and Pete Thamel, or do you lean to one side or the other?
I think that LSU coming open played perfectly into Lane Kiffin's hands, because now he has the leverage to tell Florida and LSU, hey, if I'm your number one guy, I want one thing if I'm going to take this job, and that's you to get the hell out of my way.
Yes.
I make the final decisions. Everything that I say goes, because you're looking at two places in Florida, in LSU, who have had so much turmoil over the last decade, and you need a guy kind of like, you know, it's such an unfair comparison, but like Nick Saban, when he got to Alabama, he said, look, I know there's a lot of infighting in here. I know there's a lot that goes behind the scenes around here. It's Alabama football. I understand that, but I'm the head man. I'm making the decisions. All of you are going to live with what those decisions are by me, and you're going to answer to me. And Lane Kiffin has the leverage right now in this situation to be able to do that, and he pretty much is able to do that right now at Ole Miss. So it's really about what he wants. Does he feel like he can win a national championship at Ole Miss right now? I think he's probably feeling pretty good about that, at
right.
least this season. LSU, I don't know. Florida, I don't know. So to me, that's really what this comes down to, is where Lane Kiffin feels the most comfortable. And, you know, LSU and Florida are going to be able to give him more money, but how much is an extra $20 million? How much is that going to change his life compared to having the freedom that
right.
he has at Ole Miss and still making a ton of money there? That's the question.
I am curious, though. Like, Ole Miss, I feel like, at least for the coaching, you know, contract, could match. Now, getting to $15 million per year, I guess, is a you know, that's pretty substantial. But I feel like Ole Miss could match that. I think the money conversation should probably be directed at the big donors behind the scenes who are giving money for the roster. Because I feel like Florida yeah. and LSU have more at their disposal and, you know, more ability to raise more funds than Ole Miss. But Ole Miss is doing pretty damn good for themselves as it stands right now. But, like, when it comes to actual money on a contract, I don't think that there's that much of a difference. We just saw Indiana pony up 11.6 per year to keep Kurt Cignetti. When in college football history did we think that was a reality? I think there's a lot of schools around the country who have these coaches that they say, okay, we're not going to do better, so let's throw all the money possible at this football program and at this coach to make it, you know, sustain, to keep him on campus, to keep him happy. So, like, that's one thing I debate. Like, historically, we've said, okay, LSU and Florida, they're going to give you more money on a coaching salary. That may sway you. But I don't know if today we can have that same conversation. I feel as if Ole Miss would match whatever offer is out there on the table.
That's why I believe the most important thing for Ole Miss to do is match whatever that offer it is, but even more importantly, have a plan of action for the next 5 to 7 years for Lane Kiffin and say, hey, this is what we're prepared
right.
to commit to when it comes to NIL. This is what, you know, we're prepared to commit to behind the scenes. All of that stuff, they need to have that, if they already haven't had it, locked down to say, hey, we know that LSU or Florida is historically the, you know, quote-unquote better job. We know they can maybe give you more money, but you're already winning here. Here's what we're going to do for you to be able to sustain this and keep it being your own and the head of this, and this is all you.
Yes, I'm with you. It's a different day and age, and it's just so interesting to me to see people sort of parroting the same talking points that we've had since the beginning of college football's history. oh, this job's better than this job. Well, in this day and age, tell me exactly why. Tell me, give me a palpable, like, you know, a digestible reason why Florida is a better job than Ole Miss in 2025 and then going on to 2026. I haven't gotten a great answer there. I just see a lot of people, it's hard to get out of the same talking points we've had for years. I don't know if you feel that way, but that's how I feel.
Well, honestly, when it comes to Florida, I think that's a larger discussion we can have about the big three in Florida, just in general, Miami, Florida, and Florida State. We've seen about the better part of two decades now. I mean, I know Florida State won the national championship in 2013, but that era of those three schools just being able to dominate because they controlled that talent base has been over for a long time now. And so I think when you pair that with NIL and how different that landscape is shaped now, plus access to the 12-team playoff, if you're Ole Miss, you snag a couple of big wins in the SEC and only lose a couple of games, you'll get in just the same as Florida or just the same as Alabama. That landscape has completely changed.
Yep, 100%. All right, now, by the way, did you see my Memphis Tigers last weekend? Did you enjoy that?
Ooh, I saw Brandon Lewis, man. That was fun, man. He is a gutsy guy.
And they're playing on a hurt ankle. Gutsy as hell, and he sets his career mark in passing yards. First time he's ever thrown for over 300 yards. Wild. Wild. He was phenomenal in that second half, though. He really was. He looked like one of the best quarterbacks I've seen in this unbelievable quarterback run in that second half here at the University of Memphis.
What's so awesome, too, is think about how we were talking last week, and I'm sure you and your listeners were feeling all of last week coming off of that UAB loss. I mean, it still hurts to have that. You don't give yourself any margin for error now for the rest of the season, but you've at least put yourself above South Florida, which is huge. And so all of Memphis's goals, everything for them is now back on the table in the American Conference, man. It's hot as fish grease now, man. I love it.
And Cole, you know what? The UAB loss, yes, it stinks. You have no wiggle room. But I've tried my spin zone this week. Tell me if you're buying it or you're selling it. Because Ohio State last year, your guys had this same talking point about that game they lost to Michigan at the end of the year. They don't think that they would have been able to, have that four-game run against AP Top 10 competition had they not lost to Michigan because it made them less complacent. I look at that UAB loss, at least the spin I'm trying to have on it is you now have a data point and a very clear thing to point at if you're Ryan Silverfield and even guys in that program, the leaders, and say, hey, we can't let that happen again. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, I know this is corny, but losses are lessons. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like losses sometimes can be necessary for a team to ultimately get to where they want to go. I'm not saying that this one will prove to be that way. They still have Tulane and Navy on the schedule. But I guess I think there's a possibility that they can look at that game and not take anything for granted the rest of the way.
I don't even think it's a can-be situation. I think losses almost always are necessary for your team to get to the next level. When you look throughout the history of college football and high-level college football, 2008, Ole Miss, Florida, they take that loss. Tebow has the speech. Florida just runs through. Urban Meyer in 2014 with Ohio State when they lose to Virginia Tech, and that kind of totally changes their whole outcome of the season. Like you said, we saw it with Ohio State last year. Even, you know, for Nick Saban, I think the 09 Bama team went undefeated, but when you look at all their other teams, they almost always took a loss and got better after that as the season went on. So I think the best teams kind of do need a loss at some point, and you don't want it to be to a team like UAB where you feel like they're totally overmatched against you, but that is kind of a wake-up call to say, okay, now we really have no wiggle room. Let's see what we have on this team. Let's see what kind of guys we have, and let's see how we can respond to that. And to be down 17 to South Florida and to respond to it and to win that game, that's huge.
Yep. Now, we have spent the past 2 weeks talking about teams we trust. And to be honest with you, that list has dwindled in the past couple of weeks. I think we have basically settled on Ohio State, Indiana, and I think A&M sort of put themselves in that conversation with that ass kicking they had on the road in Death Valley last weekend. But those are the three teams we look at and we're like, okay, fully trust them. But what are some teams like on the outside of the college football playoff picture that could insert themselves in the next couple weeks that you're watching pretty closely, that you're starting to trust a little bit more by the week?
I don't know if I'm trusting them, but I'm loving just the whole Big 12 because you've got this glut of teams who, like Cincinnati, you have Houston, you have Utah, who's sneaking back into things after that Texas Tech loss a month ago that was just kind of so ugly. I'm loving the top of the Big 12, and I don't know what to think about these teams. I don't think your average college football fan, even me, like I've watched Houston, but I couldn't tell you, like, man, I feel confident that Houston could play like a Ole Miss or a Georgia or whatever, but they're sitting there at 7-1, and they've played really, really well. Same with the Cincinnati after that opening week loss to Nebraska in week zero.
God, that was an ugly loss, too. Brendan Sorsby. Yeah, it's crazy to see Brendan Sorsby what he is compared to what I thought of him after that game.
Yeah, they've been on a roll ever since then, and you still have Texas Tech sitting there at 7-1, and the Arizona State loss isn't bad. So the top of the Big 12 to me is so intriguing of how it plays out over the next month.
And by the way, speaking of ball coaches, so I know we're not that far removed from the conversation we had at the beginning of this this segment, but Willie Fritz, that's a ball coach.
Ooh.
I mean, the turnaround he had at Tulane, I watched that, you know, from start to finish. It took a while, but he got there, and now they're rolling. You know, you just insert John Sumrall, and nothing happened. They continued to go. And I think, honestly, John Sumrall has sped it up to a certain extent. But then he gets to Houston, and they were awful, awful when they first joined the Big 12. And now he's already got them at 7-1. I mean, that's a guy that I think should probably get some looks on the open market with how many jobs are open.
That's what I'm saying about this coaching carousel. And you look at Willie Fritz, he's 65, so he's a little older than some of these other hotshot, younger head coaches. But when you have that track record of building programs and now what he's doing at Houston, that is a name where if I'm one of these schools, I'm saying, hey, let's reach out to Willie Fritz and at least test the waters here and see what he's interested in and if he would leave Houston, because what he's doing right now is sensational.
Yeah, but in the Big 12, I know you say we have this massive sort of logjam of teams, and I agree with you, but like, which one do you trust more than the other? Like, or which ones do you trust more than the others? BYU and Cincinnati are the only ones that are undefeated in conference, and BYU's undefeated overall, and I love watching Bear Bachmeier playing that number 47. That guy runs like a crazy person as a true freshman. He'll probably learn his way out of that as his career goes along, but he's been playing unbelievable football.
Yeah, BYU is so interesting to me because I thought they had a nice win against Iowa State last week on the road. They were down for a little bit of it, and they ended up winning by double digits. But the first 6-7 weeks, man, like they played Colorado really close. They could have lost that game. They went to overtime with Arizona. Their game against Utah was a 3-point game. And so we'll see them in a couple of weeks at Texas Tech, which I think is probably the best game of the year.
That, to me, almost decides who I think is going to come out of the Big 12 and get in the college football playoff. That's just where I stand right now. But I was surprised last year with Arizona State getting through ultimately.
I think it will be, and if I had to pick one, I know BYU's still undefeated, but I'm still rolling with Texas Tech. I know they lost the other week against Arizona State, but they're still, to me, even with the Will Hammond injury, I still think they're the most complete team. I love what they're able to do up front. They rebounded nicely against the admittedly very bad Oklahoma State team, but they shut them out. I think that game against Kansas State is really intriguing this week because Kansas State's kind of just, they got lost in the shuffle right away, but I think they've been playing some solid ball here over the course of most of the past months. So Kansas State, also a team, I don't know if they're going to win the Big 12, but I think they could be like kind of how Kansas was last year, where they just played spoiler for all these top teams at the end of the season because they were able to turn it on and turn their season around.
Yeah, Cincy, Utah this weekend, though. I mean, that's going to be that's a massive game for the Big 12, right? But I just look at it, Utah 10-point favorites over a team that's undefeated in conference. That's just a wild thing to see. But the Big 12 is so up in the air at all times. But how do you see that game going? 9:15 too, really late one for Cincinnati.
I mean, maybe I'm just scarred based off of what I saw Colorado do at Bryce Eccles.
Oh, my God. Week. Why did you even have to? I watched the first half of that game. That was, I mean, that was the worst ass-kicking I've ever seen Colorado take. And I saw the Dan Hawkins era. I saw the Carl Durrell era, okay? I've seen some ass-kickings.
Yeah, no, it was brutal. And for Cincinnati, you have, it sounds like their top running back, Evan Pryor, former Ohio State running back, their leading rusher, is going to be out for that game with an ankle injury. And just the way that Utah looked last week, I know it's Colorado, but the way they rebounded from that loss at BYU where they could have won that game, they destroyed Arizona State the other week. I really like what Utah's able to do, man, especially if Devin Dampier is healthy. He didn't even play last week. So the fact that that line is 10.5 to me shows me that more people than just me really believe in this Utah team. So I like Utah to take care of business at home.
And real quick, I this is what I'm praying for every night before I go to sleep. I'm praying for Vandy to end Texas's college football playoff hopes for good this weekend. I feel like you probably share that with me, I'd imagine.
I do, because it's so disgusting that Texas has won the past 2 weeks the way that they've won.
Mississippi State, come on. Like, I knew they were going to blow that game, but I didn't want to believe it.
Yeah, with about 10 minutes left, you could just kind of feel after that first Texas drive, you were like, oh, boy, I know where this is going. And it didn't help that Mississippi State basically did the same thing the week before, and they did it against Tennessee, too. And then Texas coming off of winning that game at Kentucky, where Kentucky had, I think, first and goal on, like, the 2-yard line and couldn't score in overtime. And then Texas went backwards and kicked a field goal. It just feels like Texas is living on the edge every single week. And I will give them credit for this. They're entertaining because it's fun watching them in these situations. So I'm with you. I want to see Vanderbilt win this game. I want to see more than that, even just wanting to see Texas lose, which is very high on my list because my brother's an alum and my dad's a Texas guy. I want to see him lose. Yeah. I want to see Diego Pavia truly make his kind of Heisman statement in that situation in Texas, in Austin, against Arch Manning. As much as it's not a one-on-one battle, that's how this will be framed. And so I want to see that as much as anything.
But here's my biggest nightmare that I have right now about the college football playoff and how it could shake out. Because there's been conversations about a 3-loss SEC team ultimately getting in. And we know Texas was a preseason AP number one team, okay? Like, that's there. The AP poll voters had a certain slant to them, thought that they were going to be unbelievable. It hasn't turned out that way. But they have won 3 straight. And they have number 9, number 5, and number 3 in 3 of their last 4 games. If they go 3-1 in this stretch and you start to look up and Arch Manning's putting up numbers like he did last week where he had 346 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's clearly improving a little bit as the season goes along. My nightmare is that they're sitting there at 9-3 on the outside looking in at the college football playoff and the committee ultimately gives them a nod and one of their big excuses is, well, Arch Manning at the beginning of the season, just he didn't really have it going, but he's learned along the way. He's become one of the premier quarterbacks in college football with the way he's been playing lately. I can totally see that happening. I just hope it doesn't.
Yeah, I'll take that a step further. If they go 3-1, it doesn't matter if they lose this week. If they lose and then beat Georgia and beat Texas A&M, they will get in. So that is a nightmare, Gabe, that I would say I don't know what the chances are it happens in reality, but if it shakes out that way, even if they beat Vanderbilt and lose to Georgia and beat Texas A&M, if they win 2 of those 3 games and provided they beat Arkansas at home, they're going to make the playoffs. So I'm with you. I don't want to see it. Hopefully we just see them lose this week, lose against Georgia in a couple weeks so we never have to talk about Texas again. But after how the last 2 weeks have gone, I don't know. Texas might just be a 9-3 team of destiny.
That's disgusting. 9-3 team of destiny. But all right, Cole, I'll let you roll, man. Great stuff as always.
Now, the biggest stories overloading the line. A bull rush of info. It's Gabe's Blitz on the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
All right, Gabe. A new Quinnipiac, however you say it, poll found about half the NFL fans say the league is doing enough to protect players from serious injuries. Most fans, 60%, support expanding the season, including many who say the move for players, which would include a salary increase, is worth the increased risk of injury.
I have so many reactions to this, and none of them are particularly good. First of all, a Quinnipiac poll found about half of NFL fans say the league is doing enough to protect players from serious injuries. Why are we asking fans? Why are we not asking the players who sustain the injuries?
Hey, Gabe, I have a question.
What do they know about it?
I have a question real quick.
They don't know a damn thing. And we just had, what was it, a couple of weeks ago, you know, the Giants get fined for Jackson Dart being forced back into the game and Cam Scataboo being forced back into the game with a concussion.
Yeah, no, speaking of Giants, this is my question. Hey, Gabe, does MetLife still have turf?
The turf!
Is the answer yes?
The turf, yes.
Ah, then they're not doing enough to protect their players.
But yeah, like, I saw this on ESPN today and I just was like, my first reaction is half of NFL fans say the league is doing enough to protect players from serious injuries. Why do the fans have any say in that? Who cares what the fans think about players sustaining injuries? The players should probably be able to speak for themselves on that front and know what the players say pretty consistently over the, 50, 60 years we've been playing in the NFL. You know what they've said? That they're not doing enough. They don't give lifetime health care after they get done, and they probably need it. Not probably, they do need it. So, yeah, I don't care what fans think about what, you know, the NFL is doing to protect from serious injuries. Also, if only half of them believe it, that means the other half don't believe that they're doing enough. So that's a pretty substantial number. Why did ESPN paint it as
a great spin zone?
Well,
tell your story.
Half of them think they do it right. What about the other half? They don't think they do it right. So that's half of the NFL fans that you polled saying that they think that serious injury is not being mitigated by the NFL. Probably should have led with that. Now, supporting expanding the season, 60%. I have not talked to a single person who's an NFL fan of a certain team, who has advocated for more games.
Not one.
I've literally had it. So I don't know who they polled for this. Did they poll just a bunch of TV execs and...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex. Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
You know, people that work in the NFL's commissioner office? Is that what they did here? And they just called them, oh, they're fans too.
They pulled,
they're fans.
They pulled
technically
the,
fans.
They pulled the owners is what they did.
Right? What are we doing? I hate to say it this way because this is the cynic in me just sort of coming to life. But when I know ESPN has a big deal for Monday Night Football with the NFL, and they make a lot of money off of that TV deal. I saw this story, and it felt as if this was like Roger Goodell planting a seed in ESPN's coverage to make it clear, hey, get used to the idea because we're going to expand to 18 games here soon. That's what it feels like to me. I don't know about you. That's me being cynical maybe, but I also know reality usually works out this way.
Yeah, I was thinking of it that way, or the numbers here are cooked because they are trying to get the ball rolling on support for expanding to 18 games. Because I'm like you. I talk to people about the NFL all the time.
This never comes up.
Not a single time has expanding the season ever come up. To be honest, I think that it's at the perfect number right now. It's great.
You
get 16 weeks of football. It's awesome.
I want to bring this conversation because you and I talk about this consistently off air. I don't think we've ever had this conversation on air. But whether it's the NCAA tournament or an NFL season or what have you.
Instead of,
this is working, let's keep at it. College football playoffs, another example. Oh, this is working, you know, we're doing really well.
Yep.
Why don't we just keep it status quo? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I've been taught growing up. But it feels like when leagues have success with something, the normal answer for them is like, let's do more of
more.
It. That's not always the correct answer or the smart answer for your consumer.
No.
Although we will still watch. I'm not saying that. And you probably still will have a lot of success. But I hate that instead of saying it ain't broke, don't fix it, they say it ain't broke, let's keep adding to it. I don't really like that part of the way we are with sports and the money-making venture that it is. Sometimes it's okay the way it is.
It's not just in sports. It happens in media all the time,
sure,
too. When fans get something or consumers get something that they enjoy, I always feel like the wrong lesson is taken away by people in power. They say, oh, they want more of this thing instead of just one of the reasons I think
instead of saying they have enough of this thing.
Like, exactly. Sometimes enough
is
enough.
Where we need to be.
The NCAA tournament does not need expanding. The college football playoff, I understand that it's going to get expanded,
but to be honest,
it doesn't need it. The NFL season doesn't need expanding. If you oversaturate something, it makes every single week or game less important.
Correct.
It takes away the importance of it. It's the same thing with a movie, or Star Wars is a great example. Star Wars came back with The Force Awakens, which was a success.
Right.
Huge fan of Force Awakens. And that the next movie, Last Jedi, I still defend a little bit. I still kind of liked it. But then, like, after that, they were
going.
Like, Mandalorian, Boba Fett, da, 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 and they threw like 1,000 things at
Fast
you.
Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious is great. And they were like, just more. But the quality went away. It was no longer special. Star Wars was an event. Oh, a new Star Wars movie. It's a huge deal. You only get them every once in a while. But then when you make it a yearly or every 6-month thing or every 4-month thing when you're getting a new Star Wars product, it's not special anymore.
Right.
Nobody cares anymore. You don't need to oversaturate it just because you have a good thing. The NFL's great. Everybody loves the NFL.
And if they go to 18 games, we'll still watch as much.
I'll tell you that.
I'd be the first to admit
that. An increase of 2 games isn't significant. It's fine. We're still going to watch. It won't be a big deal. The injury thing matters for players, though. And to be quite honest, if I were NFL players, I would say, you want 2 more games? Lifetime.
Lifetime
health insurance, or we're not doing it.
Guaranteed contracts.
Right.
Let's do it.
Lesson of just because something is good and people enjoy it and love when they receive it doesn't mean you have to increase the amount of it
or decrease
the amount of time between.
We don't have to always say more.
Right.
More. Sometimes enough is enough.
Man, this is great.
This is good as is. But we don't do that. But I this is, again, the cynic in me. I feel like there's a reason that this story and this Quinnipiac poll was put into ESPN's front page.
There's some insider trading type of stuff going on here.
I'm telling you, that's the first thing I thought when I read this story.
This is not an innocent poll, in my opinion. It is a loaded one. Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry just said at a press conference that LSU Athletic Director Scott Woodward will not be hiring LSU's next football coach. It will be LSU's Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, of course. Jeff Landry went on to say, "I'd rather have Donald Trump pick out the next coach." But okay, all right. Moving on from that. Scott Woodward should not make the decision on the next head football coach at LSU. He's not done a great job of hiring. Okay, he gets a big fish. He did that with Jimbo Fisher at A&M. Did that with Brian Kelly at LSU. But you know what happened with those big fish when he got through contract negotiations? He also, on the back end, had the two biggest buyouts ever in college football attached to his name. And other people besides Scott Woodward himself have to pay that buyout. He's not putting up $53 million to pay Brian Kelly. He didn't put up $73 million. It's probably still being paid to Jimbo Fisher at A&M. So, yeah, I'm in full agreeance, and I think this is the right decision. And Jeff Landry's sort of speaking something into existence or telling us something exists that we probably already knew in the first place. But can I dig deeper on this, Connor? Can I dig deeper? I think Jeff Landry, the governor of the state of Louisiana, needs to butt out of the LSU head football coaching conversation as soon as possible. And some people will say, "Oh, well, he's a powerful guy, and you know, maybe some people will be attracted by the fact that they could have this powerful position and have this connection with the governor." But you know what I would tell you is that college football coaches, what's one thing, especially in the NIL and house settlement era, that they want for their program? They want control.
Yeah. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex. Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. "Honey, there's water in the basement." Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
They want full control of their program. Lane Kiffin's not leaving Ole Miss unless LSU or Florida says, "Hey, you have the same exact control that you had at Ole Miss right here and at this program." They want control. They need to have people behind the scenes that they can trust. They need to have people behind the scenes that show loyalty. And Jeff Landry, the more he gets involved, it just to me feels like it's worse for LSU. Because I don't know of any head football coach right now in America worth their salt that would be willing to trade that type of power to the governor to coach the LSU football program. They want full control, and if the governor's involved with the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on in that athletic department and with that football program, that's a huge turnoff for guys like Lane Kiffin, for guys like Joe Brady, for guys like, for whoever it is.
Probably any coach.
America.
Like you said, any coach worth his salt.
I think it is... Somebody with a backbone in that LSU athletic department needs to step up and tell Jeff Landry stay in his own lane. I know he's a big politician. He's the biggest politician in your entire state. He's the governor. But someone has to tell him, brother, you're not helping us. You're hurting us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.